welcome back to another episode of Plants and Cats. I'm your host, Erica Broom, and today's topic is a very personal one, but before we get into it, as always, I have a little life update on what's been going on and a few announcements. So we've almost officially been in BC for 2 full months now, and how did that go by so fast? I have no idea. I blinked and it's the end of October, but we're settling in really nicely to our cozy little cabin. Most of our boxes are actually unpacked now, which is fantastic. Does anyone else feel the same way as me, that unpacking after a move just feels like you're constantly like shuffling things around and around and around until they land in their final spot? Because that's definitely what it's been feeling like. I've been watching a few piles of things just be moved around into different spots over and over. But now that we're settling in and have a few photos up on the walls, this place is really starting to feel like home. Last night, I actually lit our, wood stove? Is that what they're called? Like the little fireplace that heats your house? Wood stove? I think, I'm so new to this. But last night I lit my wood stove for the first time. Amber fucking loved it. She was laying on her little like cushion by the fire like the whole night, and she was just like kind of laid over like with her head hanging off the edge of the pillow. It was very cute. Speaking of the cats, Sean and I have made absolute monsters out of them. They're 100% indoor cats. And now that we actually have a property and a yard for them to explore, we've been taking them outside on their harnesses. The trouble with that now, though, is that they've now discovered what's beyond the front door. So we've lived in apartments for... I've lived in an apartment complex for, well, over 7 years. I guess Amber's 7. She's never not lived in an apartment with me. I got her when I was in an apartment. So I've been living in like apartments or condo buildings for like 7 or 8 years. So I've never had a yard of my own. Obviously, when I was living at home at my parents' house, that was a different story. But now that the cats, that we have a yard to hang out in, we have been taking them outside. So both of them, Aldous and Amber, have just been screaming to get out. Like, I kind of regret that decision a little bit. But I'm shocked, honestly, because Amber used to be like a total scaredy cat about being outside. She would actually, the first time I ever tried to take her outside, she would have been like a year, maybe two max years old. When in one of the apartments I lived in, there was like a courtyard behind the apartment complex. So I tried to take her outside in a harness one time, just to see whether or not she would like it. And, I took her, cause when you take cats outside, you're supposed to like pick them up, so that they don't associate the door opening with them. And then like, you don't open the door for them and just let them run out, because then they associate the door opening with going outside. And that's why you get cats that bolt outside. So you have to be smart about it if you're going to take your cats outside. So I picked her up and was carrying her down the stairs to go outside. And before I even got down the stairwell, she'd already peed all over me. Like, she was a giant fraidy cat. She's very cute. But yeah, so even Amber, who... Before we moved to BC, I took them to the vet to get checkups, and she peed in the carrier on the way to the vet. Like, that's how much of a scaredy cat she is. So I'm honestly shocked and flabbergasted and a little bit confused that now Ember just absolutely loves being outside. She will howl at the door. And then when we do take her outside, she's really taken to just like exploring the property. Like, our property is kind of like, we're on a hill, I guess, or side of a mountain. I don't even know. We're on like this kind of hill, like this incline. And so you can come around the garden. There's like a little spot where you go down. And then there's like a spot where you can kind of go in front of our house down the hill a bit. And Amber's even been exploring down there. Like, she's just been all over this property, just really excited about just seeing all the things to see, smelling all the smells, just kind of yelling at the bugs, chasing grasshoppers. She'll like literally just like walk around the yard and just be like, just like yelling. It's really funny. So she's really taken to exploring outside. Aldous, on the other hand, he just doesn't give a shit. All he wants to do is eat grass. That's about all he cares about. The other day we took him, he was crying at the door, and Sean took him outside. I told Sean, I was like, we shouldn't take them outside when they're yelling like that, because then they'll associate yelling at the door with going outside. You don't want to encourage that kind of a behavior. Either way, Aldous went outside and, of course, ate the longest piece of grass that he possibly could. And then when it came out the other end, it wasn't very fun. So I think he needs to curb his lust for grass a little bit, I feel like. But speaking of outside, this morning I learned something very important. So when I first moved onto this property, there's like this in our neighbor's yard, like very close to the edge of our yard, there's like a fence, and then right over the fence there's this giant tree. Like, it's so tall. It's like, I don't even know. I can't even, I have no concept of how tall this. It's like at least 100 feet, maybe 200 feet. Like, I'm not good at measurements, but it's so tall. And I was wondering, I didn't know what it was. I found it as a chestnut tree, and I was like so excited. I was like, oh my God, chestnuts. I could get some chestnuts from that tree. Like, they fall on my side of the property too. I could totally like eat some of those. Sweet. So this morning I realized there's been a lot of the chestnuts kind of falling down off the tree. Cause you can hear them. They like come crashing down. And so I was like, oh, I bet you there's some chestnuts on our side of the property. So I went out this morning, took my little foraging basket, I filled it up with chestnuts. I found some like kind of up over by my office sort of, and then I went down and around into like the bottom of our property, and I just filled that basket full of chestnuts. I was so excited. I was like, oh my God, I've never tried chestnuts as far as I know. Maybe I have, I don't remember. Maybe when I was a kid, but I've never tried chestnuts to my knowledge. I was very excited about like cooking these chestnuts and eating them. Took them all inside. I was rinsing them off, and Sean was looking up for me how to cook these chestnuts. So he's telling me like what we should do. And then he found out. He's like, oh, hold on a minute. Those might be horse chestnuts. And I was like, what the F is a horse chestnut, Sean? And he said, well, there's two types of chestnuts. Maybe there's more. This is what he told me. There's two types of chestnuts. There are horse chestnuts and there are sweet chestnuts. Sweet chestnuts are edible. Horse chestnuts are toxic. And they were horse chestnuts. I was so upset. If you go to my Instagram story today, I actually posted a photo of all of these chestnuts that I foraged. And I was so excited, you guys. I was so excited to bring these chestnuts in. I was like, sweet, hell yeah. I'm like providing for my family. I'm getting food for us. I'm just... No, they're just a bunch of toxic chestnuts. Don't eat horse chestnuts, you guys. They're toxic. I don't think they'll kill you, but they'll definitely give you a tummy ache. So yeah, I spent like 30 minutes this morning rummaging around in the bushes, touching slugs and dirt, and just to find out that I can't eat those chestnuts after all. So I was pretty disappointed. My day went from very high, very high to a pretty low. Not really. But my excitement was dampened very quickly once I realized I couldn't eat them. So yeah, lessons to be learned. Don't ever put anything in your mouth until you've done your research, regardless of whether or not you think it's edible. I didn't realize that there were toxic chestnuts. You learn something new every day. Same thing with mushrooms. Don't eat any mushrooms you forage unless you're 10,000% sure that you have identified them properly, because you can definitely kill yourself eating poison mushrooms. Don't do that. I've also gotten really into mushrooms, but I'm going to go on a tangent if I start talking about those. So anyway, as for the announcements, I just wanted to remind everyone that next week we are welcoming our next guest onto the show, Rosalyn Hodson, who is a New York Fashion Week stylist and all around amazing human. And I am so excited to bring her onto the show and share her inspirational story. She's my sister, just, you know, spoiler alert. But her and I have very similar stories in the way that people in our lives, well, there's one person in particular I can think of, that said the same thing to both of us. This person told both Rosalyn and I that we should quit our dream. So me, quit photography. Her, don't go to hair school. Don't quit doing hair. You're not going to get anywhere. because you can't make a career out of it. There's no money in hair / photography. And Rosalyn took that advice and threw it in the trash just like I did. And she has been a hairstylist for at least 10 years. I feel like it's been longer. She'll correct me next week. But yeah, I'm very excited to bring her onto the show and just share the story of how she started. She went to hair school in like Vancouver. I'm not going to tell her story. She'll tell all to you next week. But yeah, she has been on a very long journey with her career. She's been in like, I think she went for Toronto Fashion Week, and then there was like Fashion Week in Saskatchewan. Either way, lots of cool stories for her to share. So I'm very excited to bring her onto the show next week. So tune in for that. It will be in the evening. Normally the podcasts happen around this time of day, around 11 PST. I believe we'll be going live at 7:30 PST next week. Double check. There is an event posted in the app on the main menu. Hit upcoming events and you can find out for sure in your time zone. It should convert to your time zone. Because I'm on PST and most of y'all are in Regina or Saskatchewan area. So go and check that out. Make sure you tune in live. We will have a chance to ask Rosalyn any questions as well. So there will be a question and answer period. So if you have any questions you want to ask her live, you're more than welcome to do that. If you don't think you can make the live but still want to ask a question, you can just send me a message inside the Babes Club app and I'll be happy to add that to my list of questions for her. So every other week, we are featuring an empowered woman from our community. So if you or someone you know might want to be on the show, please email me at plantsandcatspod@gmail.com. I would be so excited to bring you or your friend or someone that you know on the show. Just if you have an inspiring story to share. You don't necessarily, like last week we had Ariana. She is a makeup artist and beauty expert, I think is what I called her, beauty expert. It doesn't necessarily have to be someone who is an entrepreneur by any means or like a business owner or anything like that. If you know someone or you have been through just a adverse experience in your life that you came out of the other side with, like, you know, you got through it and you want to share that story because you think you can inspire others or maybe help other people who are going through the similar experience that you went through, I would love to share your story. That is what this podcast, the guests are about. When I interview guests, that's what I want it to be about, just sharing inspiring stories of women in our community. So if you have any ideas, just shoot me an email or you can DM me in the app as well. So if you missed my live a couple of weeks ago, I just also wanted to take a second to remind everybody that basic membership to the Babes Club app is now free, and free members get access to our main hangout chat and live streams while they are live. Premium membership is only $2.49 per month, and you get access to our premium members area as well as live stream replays. So if you can't watch the live as they're live, you can play them on demand. All of the past podcast episodes are in there. Since I started doing the video, I'll probably have to add, I should add the audio recordings for the ones that I didn't do video for. But all of my workbooks, guides, worksheets, all of that good stuff that used to be in-app purchases, I have now included that with the premium membership. There's so much more too. So if you're curious and you want to know more, tap the Unlock Premium button in the main menu to get started. So, moving on to today's topic. Oh boy, this is a big one for me. So for the past few months, I've been kind of putting out there that I'm writing a book, and I've been a little quiet about what my book is actually about, other than mentioning in passing that it's going to be a memoir of my life thus far. So I've been working really hard to make writing a daily practice. I haven't done it this morning. I always try right at the beginning of the day to write 3 pages, regardless of like what comes to mind, just like to just read or to read. Write 3 full pages in my journal. I'll show y'all. This is the one I have right now. It's a little cute mushroom style. Look at how cute this is. Ugh, I love it. One of the app members, Katcha, gave me this this journal. She gave me my last journal as well, that I filled up. I don't have that one out here, do I? Oh yeah, here it is. This is the other one she gave me, and I filled this up. This is full, just absolute. Woo. Oh, there was like a tear. Oh, there's tear stained pages when the ink ran because I was crying when I was writing. So yeah, I'm trying really hard to write every single day, because if you're gonna write a book, you have to get into the practice of writing, right? And I've been a writer my whole life. I wrote my first short story when I was like a kid. I'm sure I wrote like little stories before this, but I remember in grade 4, I wrote, do y'all remember like, there was like the full scap? I don't know if this is like a colloquialism. Is that the right word? For Saskatchewan, but there was like the full scap paper and the half scap paper. I don't know if that's the official term or that's just what we called it in elementary school, but it's like the long, like the big long paper. You know, it's longer than a printer sheet of paper, a little bit like not as wide. But I wrote a story on there in grade 4, and I remember my grade 4 teacher being like, she just encouraged me so much, and she would like, I think we had like a creative writing portion of the day. I'm not sure exactly why I was writing this story, but my grade 4 teacher just encouraged me so much, and she'd write little notes like, oh, I can't wait to find out what happens next. And so that really helped kind of encourage me to keep writing throughout my life. And I stopped doing it for a long time. You know, I write blog posts here and there, but I definitely haven't made a habit of that either. I need to get back on that habit. It's good for SEO, you know? But yeah, so I've been writing every day and filling up journals. And so I'll either write kind of what comes to mind, or I will recall things. Like sometimes things will come back to me, and I'll write them down, like stories that I want to share. So some of the stuff that I have written in those journals will end up making it into my book eventually. But originally, when I first had the idea to write the book, I thought that it was going to be all about my past with my ex. So I've been thinking about writing this book for years, a long time. And I expressed the idea to Sean, I was like, I think I need to write a book about my experiences with my ex, because for those of you who don't know this part of my story, I was married to a transgender woman for a few years, and we were together for a few years longer than that. I think we were together for like maybe 6 years, something like that, 6 or 7 years. It was a long time, way too long. But when we met, she was a man. And I was there for her through her whole transition. We were also long distance the whole time too, which really complicated a lot of things, as you can imagine. So I thought that this was the story that I was going to write a book about. And this is what Sean was encouraging me to write about. Because when I was going through this change my life with her, I couldn't really find many resources from the perspective of someone like me, the partner of a trans person. There were lots of, you know, books and blog posts, essays, articles written from the perspective of someone who was transitioning, but nothing really from the perspective of the support, the people that were supporting those people. And so I felt very alone for that journey. Like I knew that there had to be people like me. I really felt like I had to share my story, because I just knew that there were so many others like me out there, just feeling really confused and lost, and especially questioning their sexuality. It really threw me for a loop. It really did, because I was with a man, and then she came out to me, and obviously my love for her didn't change at all. That came later. That had nothing to do with her transition. But it really, it made me question a lot of things that I thought I knew about myself. And as it turns out, time offers you a lot of perspective. It's been almost 10 years since the day my ex-wife came out to me as trans, and I've done a lot of healing since then. I don't want to get too much into that on today's episode, because that is something I'll be talking about in depth about in my book. That is going to be a large part well, maybe not a large part. It's going to be at least in there, a chapter, at least, maybe more. but our relationship was not a good one. You know, she was emotionally abusive to me. She manipulated me. She gaslit me. And in the end, she cheated on me with a man. Ouch, right? Ugh. I used to wonder a lot if it would have hurt less if she had cheated on me with another woman. But in the end, a betrayal is just simply that, a betrayal. So after my divorce, I ended up meeting my husband, Sean. Those of you who have been here for a while, you've definitely seen him in lives in the past and just seen me talking about him. He encouraged me to seek therapy, and I did that. But those of you, it's so funny because, you know, those of you who have gone to therapy for any extended period of time, you're already going to know this one very well-kept secret about going to therapy, that there is always more to your story than you realize. Literally, the only reason I started going to therapy was that I was still very hurt and felt very betrayed by the way my ex had treated me during our relationship. When I sought out therapy, that was literally the only reason I was there. I wanted to sort through all my hurt feelings so that I could heal and I could let go of the past and put all my focus on my current relationship without continuing to drag all of that baggage around with me. It wasn't fair to me. It certainly wasn't fair to Sean either. Sean is the best, you guys. God, I love him. You know, he has just been so encouraging, and he was so just like accepting of like my past. Like, he knew going into the relationship with me that I had a lot of stuff that I was carrying around with me, because when I met Sean, my divorce hadn't even been finalized yet. I had asked I wasn't supposed to say her name, whoops, cat's out of the bag. I had asked her for a divorce, but it took a while for all of that to go through. And it took me like a freaking year, you guys, to ask her for a divorce after I found out she was cheating on me, which is ridiculous. But, you know, if you know anything about manipulating gaslighters and narcissists, you'll understand that it wasn't necessarily, well, it was by choice. I guess it was a choice that I made, but it was hard. It's hard to get out of that kind of thing. So thankfully, my therapist and I sorted through all of that thanks to EMDR therapy, which, if you don't know what that is, I'm not going to get into it really quick, but really quickly, it's basically a type of therapy that helps you process traumas that you have repressed, because the way your brain works, if you have a traumatic experience, whether that, like, all, there's so many things that can traumatize you guys, but it helps you sort through your traumas by using eye movements. So when you're sleeping, REM sleep, that's your brain processing your day, right? So EMDR therapy mimics that, and helps you process and kind of store away those memories in a healthy way. So I healed from that, or I started my healing journey from that, and I started to move on from that portion of my life. But, you know, like the layers of an onion, once we started peeling the back, I realized that there was way more to unpack, as always goes with therapy, right? I was like, fuck yeah, we got this shit done. My ex-wife's stuff is like sorted out. I don't have to worry about that anymore. I don't go into a panic attack anymore when I think about the situation that was traumatizing to me. I don't, like, because you have, like, physical responses to these things, right? When you have a traumatic experience and it isn't being processed properly by your brain, you will have physical responses to that trauma years later. Like, when I thought about the thing that we targeted in therapy, my body would literally go into a state of anxiety. Like, my heart rate would go up. My breath would be shorter. Like, I couldn't catch my breath. And just probably my blood pressure went through the roof. Like, I don't know, sciencey stuff, but it's just crazy that years after if you haven't processed those memories, those traumas, that it can actually have a physical effect on your body. And trauma shifts your brain. Like, it totally, it damages your brain, you guys. Like, it's crazy. Go look this stuff up. It's honestly, I want to say it's so cool, but it's not cool. You know, but you know what I mean. Like, science, like, brain stuff, that's cool. It's so cool to me, just the way your brain works. Anyway, I'm getting way off topic, as always. So yeah, my childhood, reeling it back in, my childhood was not a happy one. I felt ignored and forgotten by my parents, and while my physical needs like food, shelter, and clothing were met, my emotional needs were not. So that is another thing that I have figured out through therapy, and this is part, whoops, this is part of the reason why I am no contact with my parents, was I just needed the space to heal from all of that, because that was really damaging. It was a damaging experience, an adverse childhood experience, I think is the word for it. And I was bullied relentlessly from about grade 3 all the way to grade 12. And it wasn't for lack of trying. I tried desperately to fit in. I created a persona that I thought that other people would like based on my observations. I was a very observant child. I still am very observant. Unless I'm dissociating. If I'm like out somewhere in the grocery store and I'm just feeling overwhelmed, I am definitely not as observant as I would be in any other situation. But even though I tried so hard, I never felt like I fit in. I always felt like an outsider. I felt different than everyone else, and I think that they knew it too. And I think that's why I got picked on so much. I tried really hard. I just wanted to be friends. I just wanted some friends, you guys. Little me just wanted some fucking friends, and she wanted so desperately to fit in that she pretended to like certain things. I can't think of specific examples off the top of my head, but I'd pretend to like things that I didn't like, just to try to fit in. And, you know, I'd try to be like the people around me. I would make friends, and then my friends would bully me. Like, that's how brutal it was. Like, kids are rotten. It's part of the reason why I don't want kids. Well, a little bit. I'm not going to have kids. I don't plan on it. No thank you. But just, part of the reason why I don't want to have kids, I just don't want to raise a child that then goes on to bully someone. Like, that would just be devastating to me. So all of this leads me to the discovery I made about myself last summer. And this is something that I have been keeping to myself since then. And it definitely has to do with my own internalized ableism, and I'd say maybe even self-gaslighting. Ugh, I don't like the idea of doing that to myself, but I just had to work through it and come to terms with this discovery. And there's just so much stigma around this, and especially for those of us who haven't had a formal diagnosis. But as it turns out, that's so out of reach from so many of us due to finances, limited privilege, and other roadblocks that make seeking help harder. So I've been struggling for a while, like since last summer, on deciding whether or not I should share this with anyone outside of Sean. And the thing that I'm starting to realize is that by keeping this hidden away, I'm only hurting myself, and my own mental health and my own well-being. So I wanted to start here in this safe space with all of you and share what I've discovered about myself. Last summer, it took me over a year to get to this point. This is how long this journey has taken me, that I discovered this last summer, and I'm only now a year and like 4 months later ready to talk about this. So at first it started with a suspicion that I have ADHD. Last week on the podcast, Ariana brought up her own discovery that she was ADHD, and I almost mentioned it then, but I knew that I was going to do this podcast this week, so I bit my tongue and I held it back. And so as soon as I started questioning whether or not I had ADHD. I just researched for days on end, just like weeks, maybe months, just like falling down that ADHD rabbit hole. Those of you that are on TikTok know there is so much content out there to just absorb from other people's real life experiences of having ADHD. And just, I started, you know, so I did a bunch of research. I did so many self-assessments online, and journaling, like I was saying earlier, journaling to try to uncover memories that would make more sense. And everything in my past started coming into clearer focus. You know, the struggles I had in school with schoolwork, like I would just have meltdowns around like trying to do my homework. There's a specific memory that I have sitting at the kitchen table with my parents. I think it was like a math problem. I struggled with math so bad. Like math was not something that did not get along with math in high school, but just like just being so upset that I just, my brain couldn't focus. And I just remember like sitting there like slamming my fists into my head because I was just so frustrated that I couldn't get it. I felt so stupid. Saying that out loud makes me so sad for my past self. I felt so fucking stupid because I knew that all of my classmates, well, from what I observed, right, going back to observations, all of my classmates seemed to understand this, and I just struggled, like, so hard, like, needlessly so. I struggled with schoolwork so much. I also sometimes have, you know, now and back then especially, too, I have trouble sometimes with processing what someone is saying to me. Someone will say something to me and it will take me like a lot longer than other people who don't have these struggles. It takes me a while to kind of process. It takes me a couple of seconds extra to process what someone has said to me. And I know this because sometimes I will hear someone will say something to me and I'll get them to repeat it, but like halfway through them repeating it, I've then processed it in my brain and I'm like, oh, and then I'll answer them like halfway through them repeating it and they're like, what the fuck, like did you hear me the first time or not? And it's like, well, I did hear you, just my brain didn't. My brain needed time to process. Ariana says she's the same way, right? Exactly, you get it, girl. Thanks for joining in live, Ariana, I appreciate you being here. Moving to present day, the issues I face every day as a business owner trying to prioritize my work properly and stay on task. Such a struggle. Ugh, don't even get me started. Let alone focus on one thing at a time. My brain is constantly jumping from task to task or thinking about the other things that I need to get done. That is why I have my bullet journal. That thing has been a lifesaver. If you have ADHD, girl, go get a fucking bullet journal. And maybe it'll help you. I'm not going to guarantee anything. This really helped me. It's worked very well for me in the past and present. But I always seem to have like 10 or more tabs open in my browser. Like, if you're like me, you got so many tabs open and you're clicking through them all the time. And I always have like 10 or more tabs open in my brain as well at all times. So it's funny how that sort of translates into my like digital life. Like some on my browser, on my phone, y'all, Sean makes fun of me for this constantly. Not in a mean way, but you know, just kind of like, oh, Erica, you know, rolling his eyes. But I will have like 20, 30, 40 tabs open in my phone browser because I'll like open something. I'm like, ooh, I want to save that for later. So instead of just freaking bookmarking it, I'll just leave the tab open. There's like one of the very top, because like they go by order, right? The oldest ones are at the top. One of the very top tabs that I have open on my phone are a pair of leather gloves with like metal cat claws on the end. They're so fucking amazing. I have had that tab open, I want to say, for like 6 months or more. Why I haven't just bookmarked those gloves, I don't know. I think it's because I want the reminder all the time because I want those. you know, I keep telling myself when I have another good month in my business, I'm going to treat myself to those gloves. One of these days I'm going to buy them, but yeah, just so many tabs open all the time. And so I accepted that it was looking pretty likely that I have ADHD that just went undiagnosed my whole life. And thinking about this just absolutely blows my mind that nobody fucking noticed. Not even when I was failing classes in high school with little to no explanation. The crazy thing to me is that math was always a struggle for me. Up until, like, there's a certain point, like, I think it was when algebra, when, like, they started introducing letters into math, I'm like, whoa, fuck off. What the hell is this? I can't. You're telling me now I have to do the alphabet in my math? Fuck off. Like, it was about right around there that I really started struggling with math, but one of my strong subjects was always English. I was very good, because I'm a writer, right? I'm very good at English. But I failed English one year in high school with, like, no explanation. My explanation, I really hated that teacher, so I'm sure that had something to do with it. But the ADHD didn't help, obviously. But I failed math, or I failed English, and biology. Like, biology, sciences, I don't know. I'm an artist. Like, science doesn't really, like, science is cool and all, but I failed biology, I failed English, I failed math. And I had to go to summer school for English. Like, that right there. Like, I always had such good marks for me. Like, 70s, 80s were always good for me, because I always struggled. And then one year I just, like, totally bombed English, and so I had to take summer school. How did that not, like, how was that not concerning to my parents? it boggles my mind. I was put on depression medication at 13. Because they figured that that was the issue. That's why I was having trouble in school, because I was depressed. Obviously, that didn't fix anything. I was less depressed. I guess I was depressed, but that mostly had to do with the fact that I had gone undiagnosed. So that didn't fix anything other than making me feel a little less depressed. When I say it made me feel less depressed, it kind of brought me down from here to, like, baseline. So I wasn't, like, depressed, but I also wasn't happy. I was just, like, neutral. Anyone that's been on depression or anxiety medication will know exactly what I'm talking about. Speaking of anxiety medication, the anxiety diagnosis I received at 24, that didn't fix anything either. I was on anxiety medication for a while. For a few years, and that was right around the time that my ex and I split, and I was just having panic attacks. But it wasn't anxiety. In the end, it wasn't anxiety. Well, it might have been. I was anxious. The medication helped, but again, it just brought me to baseline. I wasn't anxious, but I also didn't feel anything, and that wasn't a good feeling. So the more I researched about ADHD, the more Here, I'm getting to the tough part here, you guys. the more it started pointing to another thing, I hadn't even considered this before. Because I just had no experience in this. I had no experience in this realm. But I always questioned whether or not I had some sort of learning difficulty or disability, because of all the struggles I had growing up with school and making and keeping friends and just knowing how to react in social settings. So obviously the ADHD wasn't helping me either. That wasn't helping me with my learning difficulties either. But I didn't realize. So I talked earlier about creating this persona for myself so that I could maybe have some friends that tried to be the person I wasn't. And I didn't realize that the persona I'd created for myself had a name. I had been masking my true self, my discomfort, my joys, every reaction to every situation, my whole entire life. So the more that I learned and the more that I researched, the more obvious it was becoming to me. So last summer, I discovered that I am autistic. So, that feels really good to say out loud. It feels scary to admit that out loud. Because there's just so much stigma around not only autism, but about self-diagnosis. So for those of you that are unfamiliar with autism, it presents on a spectrum, much like ADHD. You know, one person that is ADHD isn't going to have the exact same struggles as another. So I may struggle with things that other autistic people don't, and vice versa. Other autistic people might have different struggles than me. They might be nonverbal. Like, there's a whole spectrum, right? So I have been so highly masked my entire life that it turned into a subconscious thing, to the point that I didn't even realize I was doing it. I didn't know that I was doing this because of the way that my brain worked, because of my neurotype, because of my neurodivergency. I don't have a formal diagnosis yet. I want to be more open about this aspect of my life. So while some of my book I am writing will involve my ex, my emotionally absent parents, and the bullying I endured, now that I have figured out this part of myself, I can share the perspective of what it was like going through all of that. Well, deep down, thinking that there was something wrong or off about me. My whole life, you guys, my whole fucking life, I have felt like an outsider, even in my friend groups, even around, especially around my family. Oh my God, don't even get me started on that. But I always just, any social situation I find myself in, I always feel like the people around me, like, don't, like, they're just like, oh, I don't really want to hang out with her. I always just felt like I was different, and I just couldn't, I didn't know why. I just sort of stuffed it down after a while, because I was like, well, this is just how everybody feels, right? Everybody feels like an outsider. Everybody feels like they're a fucking weirdo. And so, yeah, that's just been my experience throughout my whole life, is just feeling like I didn't belong. And it just turns out that I'm fucking autistic, y'all. Like, that's the reason why I feel like a fucking weirdo. And there was on TikTok, I wish that I knew this creator's name off the top of my head. It was on Instagram. It was an Instagram post. There was something like, diagnosis is important. And I'm going to totally butcher this quote, but diagnosis is important because you can go your whole life feeling like a really weird horse when in actuality you are a perfectly normal zebra. So I was just a zebra my whole life, pretending to be a horse, thinking that there was something wrong with me because I had a bunch of stripes and all my other horsey friends didn't have stripes. So while I'm writing this book, I'm also going to be trying to pursue a formal diagnosis, and I'm going to write about that experience as well. So from the community that I found through TikTok and Instagram, there's so much fear around being dismissed by professionals, especially for those of us who were assigned female at birth and went unnoticed. It is very common for girls and women who grew up in the 90s. It was so much more likely that an autism diagnosis wouldn't even have been considered if you were a girl, unless you had high support needs and it was more obvious to the professionals that you were being treated by. But if you were like me, you learned very quickly because it got shamed out of you. Well, you can't shame autism out of anybody. They make you shove it down, right? Shame will make you shove things about yourself down in a way so that nobody knows or notices. So if you're a highly masked individual like me, it's more likely that you would have gone unnoticed. So I want to share about this while I go through the process. It's going to be a long road ahead. A lot of money involved, from what I understand. it can cost upwards of thousands of dollars just to even get an assessment in the first place. More if you want an assessment for autism and ADHD. And much like a lot of other people in my position, I am financially unable to do that right now. Or ever. Like, who knows? I don't fucking know. I hope that I can fucking save up the money to do this. I'm hoping and praying that Sean's new job, he's got a new job, he's casual right now, eventually he's gonna be permanent, and then he'll get benefits. Maybe it'll be covered then. I don't know. I'm just putting this out there into the universe. If you're listening, universe, please, when Sean gets his permanent position, can his benefits please cover this for me? Because I don't have, it's like $3,000 at one place. There's a spot, or there's a place in Regina, I believe it's called Nero's House or Nero's Home. My therapist told me about this. When I brought this up to her, and bless her heart, she immediately validated me. She's like, oh, I could see why you would think that. And then she's like, well, based on these things you've told me about your family, here's some observations that I've made. And then I was just like, fucking light bulb moment, yo. Like, everything made more sense at that point. So here's hoping that I can get it covered. I just got off track there. I totally lost my train of thought. Thank you, ADHD brain. I'm so happy I can be open about that now. Squirrel moment, right? So, Nero's House. Nero's House. I looked it up. My therapist told me about this. The place in Regina, I believe there's like psychologists or psychiatrists. I can't remember what the difference is. One of them can diagnose you and the other can't. Or one can, I don't, doesn't matter. So they have psychologists, psychiatrists at this place who will do a formal diagnosis for you. However, it is a private clinic. So I did look into it because my therapist was like, well, if you're considering doing this, here is where I would start. And she told me right up front. She's like, I'll be upfront with you about this. It will cost you money. I don't know how much. It's probably a lot. But this is where you can start. If you don't, because she also mentioned, she's like, well, you could go to your doctor. He could probably give you an ADHD diagnosis at least. And if you wanted to try medication, he'd be able to help you. Because they always say, like, go to your family doctor, right? My doctor has been my doctor literally since he pulled me out of my mother's vagina. Like, he delivered me. That's how long he has known me for. But because of all my shit with my family, I don't feel comfortable going to him. And I'm not going to get into that, but... And I don't live in Regina anymore anyway, so I can't now. I guess I can't now go. But yeah, she said, try starting there. And so I explained to her why I didn't want to go to him. So then she gave me the option of this. So there are private clinics that you can get assessed in, but that costs you money. So I don't remember specifically what the cost was, like ADHD versus autism. But if you wanted to have an assessment for both, I believe the cost is around $3,000. Who the fuck has $3,000 just laying around? I know, I sure as shit don't. Especially not after we moved. That move cost us way more than we expected. So it's going to be a while before I am able to do this for myself. So I just wanted to be open about this journey that I'm on and take you all you amazing people who have just been so supportive of me over the years. I just wanted to take you along on this journey with me and to just be more open about my struggles, because it honestly explains so much. It explains to me why I always have all these like grand ideas and plans for things I want to bring to this community, and how sometimes I just fall short, and then I always just beat myself up about it. I'm always so fucking hard on myself about just not following through on the things that I want to do around here. And I try my hardest. Obviously, I've brought lots of awesome things in here, but there's so much more that I want to be doing, and I just physically can't do it. And that's because of my own struggles, and just the, you know, it's hard for me to get started on a project, but then it's also hard to complete it. And of course, like, if I'm really interested in it, I'll like hyper focus on it and I'll just get done in like 2 seconds. But yeah, it just explains so much to me. So I wanted to share that with everybody. And yeah, so in the meantime, while I'm saving up my pennies, hoping to get an actual diagnosis, I'm writing my book. I started it. It's officially started, y'all. I wrote like 3.5 Google Doc pages last night. I have officially started writing. So I'm going to be sharing my thoughts on that. I'm going to start being a lot more open about my neurodivergency around here. Eventually, I'm sure that will leak out into my public platforms, probably more so on TikTok. It's weird. Like, the people that follow me on TikTok, like, I feel like I can be more open over there for some reason. Like, I share a lot about my struggles with, like, my family, you know, the fact that I am estranged from my parents. I share a lot more about that over on TikTok rather than Instagram. And I just feel like the audience over on TikTok is just so much different than Instagram. I think Instagram people don't... I'm sure if I started sharing that stuff on there too, it would be well received. But I just feel like on Instagram, people are more there to look at the photos that I'm posting rather than know more about my life. If you think I'm wrong about that, let me know. But yeah, I just wanted to start here in this safe and lovely community. Where I feel safe sharing this for the first time. Obviously, I've shared this with Sean. He is 10,000% on board. He is so fucking supportive. he's just... when I get, like, really excited, I'll, like, wave my hands around and just, like, jump around and stuff, and he'll, like, do it with me. And he's just, like... The first time he did it, it took me off guard, and I, like, stopped, and I was like, oh. And he's like... I was like, why? He's like, why'd you stop? I was like, I know that you weren't making fun of me, but it feels like you were making fun of me, because that's been my experience in the past, right? And he's like, no, babe, like, stim it out, like, you're just get it all out, like, you can do it, it's totally fine. I was just doing it because I was excited, and I wanted to, like, show you that I was supporting you. So he's been so fucking good. You guys, ugh, get yourself a partner like Sean, if you don't already have one. So yeah, I feel safe sharing this here for the first time. I've shared it, obviously, yeah, like I said, with Sean. I've shared it with a few of my friends. I haven't outwardly stated, I don't think, my friends, I've said this too in the past, if you're watching this or listening, correct me if I'm wrong, but I've only ever shared with my friends, like my really close friends, being like, ooh, I'm considering the possibility that I might be autistic. The two friends that I'm specifically thinking of, they're like, oh shit, me too. And so, like, we really bonded over that, but I don't think I have ever actually said I am autistic to either of them. I might have. It's entirely possible. But yeah. I got it out of the way. You guys, I said it out loud. So yeah. I'm just grateful that I have been given the tools, thanks to TikTok and the internet, to figure this out for myself. Because, like I said earlier, just everything just makes way more sense to me now. My whole fucking life makes way more sense. And it's crazy when you get that clarity. And, like, people are like, labels aren't important. It's like, well... But they are, though, because you can go... It's like when I got my anxiety diagnosis, because I was really anxious at that point in my life. Looking back on it now, with the knowledge that I have now, about ADHD, about autism, I think, obviously I can't say for sure, because I only have my vague memories to look back on. That's one of the other things. Trauma damages your brain. And it damages your memory. So I have a hard time remembering things sometimes. But I lost my train of thought there. Went off track, and then I lost my train of thought again. But everything just kind of, like, came into focus for me. And it's, you know, when you get that label, like I was saying, when I got my anxiety diagnosis, I was like, oh shit, there's a word for this? And then suddenly it made sense, because I thought that everybody felt that way. I thought that everybody was having panic attacks daily. I thought everybody just, like, had always had their heart rate like through the fucking roof, and they were always just like panicking about everything. So it was like, it was helpful to me in that moment to get that diagnosis of anxiety, because it made sense. Looking back on it, I know, like I said, knowing what I know now about neurodivergency and how neurodivergent brains work, I think that while, yes, I was anxious, I was burnt out, I think is what it really comes down to. And burnout is not a fun place to be. It has taken me years to recover from that period of my life. I feel like I'm just now kind of getting to that point where I at least can recognize when I am starting to feel burnt out, and then I can stop and rest, because that's really important. Yeah. There it is, you guys. I said it. It's out in the world now. Well, it's out in the app now. Eventually it will leak out into my public platforms. But yeah, like I said, I just wanted to share it here first, because I knew that this was a safe space for me to share that. And if I didn't want to share it anywhere else, I don't have to. But like I said, I need to start living my life a little more authentically and not hiding myself anymore. You know, I can look back on, there's like one specific TikTok I can think of, and I think I actually took it down because it was upsetting to me. This was right, I filmed this TikTok right around the time that I was starting to suspect this. And then like a couple of weeks after filming this TikTok, I looked back on it and I was like, holy effing shit, I am masking so hard in this video. I was not, like, it felt weird to watch it, because the persona that I had put on for that TikTok, I was showing off like a client's order, and I was just like really excited, but it was like a fake excitement, and I could see that in myself. I was like, that's not how I normally am. Why the hell am I doing this? And I was like, and it dawned on me, oh fuck, I'm masking. So it's little discoveries like that, kind of like looking back on your life and even your present moment, you know, when you make that discovery, it's mind blowing. Because then you start noticing all the little things that you do that kind of like solidify your like diagnosis, like your self-diagnosis and everything. So yeah. So as always, we're going to totally derail this topic. We're going to go in a completely different direction. We always end the show with a card pull, a tarot card pull. So today I'm pulling from one of my favorite decks, the Wilder Woven Tarot. You can see it if you're watching the live video here, or the replay, by Greg White. He actually is an artist local to Nelson, which is right around the area that I'm in. I bought this deck on our honeymoon last year. So we're going to do a general card pull. Ooh, excuse me. Oh my goodness. Didn't mean to burp in the mic. Sorry, guys. Coffee, you know. So this one popped right out. So we're going to do a general card pull. So as always with general readings, take what resonates, leave what doesn't. If this doesn't resonate with you, today is Tuesday. We're doing Tarot Tuesday in the app right now. If you are a premium member, you can head on over to the luxury suite, I think is the name that we've named the group for premium members. I am pulling cards for anybody who wants one today, until the end of the day. And then in the freemium area, the main hangout, I have also posted a card. So if this one doesn't resonate for you, there's another general reading card that you can maybe take a peek at. Maybe that will give you a little more clarity on this one. So I pulled the King of Wands. I'll show it to you all on the stream here. So it's a little dragonfly. I love this deck because all of the like different suits have this kind of cool shape, like the outline for the elements. So this is a dragonfly. He's like sitting on he's come to rest on like a kind of glass or metal like wand. There's a gem on top, a beautiful crystal, and there's a swirly kind of fire background behind him. So King of Wands, where are we here? right. King of Wands. Amidst the swirling chaos of directionless passion, the dragonfly enters to provide arrow-like focus. This powerful ancient insect has nearly perfect 360-degree vision and can adjust mid-flight in any direction to hit moving targets. The King of Wands resides above the weeds and is able to see the clear path from beginning to end. With swift confidence, he executes a strategy to manifest his vision. So let me know in the comments what came up for you with that card. I would love to know. And like I said, if nothing kind of resonated with that for you, that just means that it wasn't for you, and it's okay. As always, thank you so much for your support of the show. Please rate and give me a 5-star review of the podcast in your podcast app of choice, or leave a 5-star review on your app store for the Babes Club to help others find the show and our amazing community of supportive babes. Listener mail can be sent to plantsandcatspod@gmail.com. Send me an email and I may read it on the show. See you next week, babe.